Today we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Healing. Did you hear what she said? The Lord spoke to her this morning on the way in. This is a day for healing. He wants to be moving among us for healing purposes. And so we thank you for that this morning, Lord. We draw upon you and we receive. We receive. We receive healing. I'd like us also for just a moment to go beyond the folks that are here and just think of a person or two that you think of, friend, family, neighbor, that needs healing. And let's just designate a flow of healing out. In Jesus' name, we release healing. In Jesus' name, we release healing. And we pray that you would reveal yourself as a healer this morning. We release that healing. Reveal yourself to those people in Jesus' name. And people say, here, say, amen.
It's worth getting excited about. I think the Lord is excited. As we were driving up, I asked the kids what the Lord was saying to them, either for you or for someone else or for the church. And William said, well, Jesus didn't say anything, but I felt something. I was like, what did you feel? He's like, I felt excited for church. So thank you that you are excited about what you are up to in our hearts. Impossible, say those who are unable to believe. Situations bring intimidation, I won't receive. Expect to lose, they say, but I choose to believe. I won't give up now, even when I don't know how. I believe. Lord, you said you make all things new, and the hope of your
make all things new.
So we turn and look at our own lives, and we say nothing is impossible. Oh, nothing, nothing is impossible. God of miracles, all things are possible. Just as in days of old, for those who believe, we believe. You are faithful. Healing flow. You are faithful to your promises. So hearts and bodies and minds be healed. Hearts and minds and bodies be healed. Hearts and minds and bodies be healed. Hearts and minds and bodies be healed. Say with me, hearts and minds and bodies be healed. Hearts and minds and bodies. Shut mouths of lions and change hearts of thieves. You heal broken souls, bring life to dry bones. Give food to the barren, you raise the dead. Great and powerful, God of miracles, glory be to your name. Generation who you are remains the same. Once more, great and powerful, God of miracles, glory be to your name. Generation to generation who you are remains the same. Faithful you are, faithful you will be. Faithful you are, faithful you have been. Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're good, good. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just.
just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Lord, you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Jesus, you are wonderful in all your ways. You are wonderful in all your ways. You are wonderful in all of your ways.
I am loved as I am.
Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." He spoke about this in speaking about the Holy Spirit, which they would receive, but had not yet been given. And I believe this morning the invitation is the same. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he that believes on me, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. I think that there's an invitation to us this morning, both to receive and to be prepared and expect to give. To receive for ourselves, but to have an overflowing abundance to give to others. I'd like to go back to this first song we sang. Can you do that, Ellie? And I'd like you to look at those words one more time. And then I would like to have, Keith, would you go back to where you were early on? And Jocelyn, in a moment, okay? The words. Impossible, say those who are unable to believe. We're believers. And there's nothing impossible. We are believers. Nothing impossible. Situations bring intimidation. I won't receive. Expect to lose, they say, but I choose to believe. We are believers. I won't give up now, even when I don't know how. I believe. I don't know how it's going to work, but I believe. You said you make all things new and the hope of your word breaks through. You part the waters, bring men to their knees. You shut the mouths of lions and change the heart of thieves. You heal broken souls, bring life to dry bones. Give fruit to the barren. You raise the dead. Great and powerful, God of miracles, glory be to your name. From generation to generation, you are who you are remains the same. God of miracles, all things are possible just as in days of old for those who believe. And we believe. We believe. And this morning I'd like us to be those who come to drink. We have come and we have partaken. We've drunk. But I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And I'd like to challenge you to be not only those who come this morning to receive and to drink and to believe, but to be among those who expect to carry something out there, and it's going to accomplish something out there. Out of your belly, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. That's what he said. If you believe here, out there will flow rivers of living water. So we're going to do something all over again for just randomly. We're not going to have a service. We're just going to randomly. If you have somebody out there that you'd just like to see, I'd like to see something flow into that person. I'd like to invite you to come back and take him. You know, in the New Testament, they were actually baptizing people who were dead. I don't understand that theology. Off the edge of my purview. But I want you to dare to believe this morning, dare to believe that you can, in connection with receiving from him, carry something out there. I challenge you to believe that what Jesus said, for those that believe, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'd like to challenge you that. And I'd like you to come receive with the intention that I'm going to carry something out of here over there. I'm going to carry something. I'm going to carry something. So I'll say it louder. Make believe you believe. Yeah, I'm going to carry something out there. And I can't remember already what you were going to say or you wanted to say. Do you want to say it now? It wasn't important.
That George is just reading the words to. While we were singing, I heard a shofar. So much so that I literally turned around and looked to see who was blowing it. Nobody had one. I believe that the Lord is calling right now. The scripture that came to me was out of Nehemiah. It was when they were building the walls of Jerusalem again. As soon as I find it.
It's still there.
Apparently. There it is. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. I think we're in a time where the Lord wants us to see breakthrough. He wants us to experience everything that He has for us. And so, as far as I'm concerned, there's a call to me, and I believe to you also, to believe that He's going to fight for you.
Amen.
Those things that have hung on you and hung on you and hung on you, I believe God is saying it's time to see those things released.
So this morning I was praying for somebody, and the Lord just told me to start releasing for that person. And so I started doing that. And as I did, I started seeing God touching, pouring oil, sending angels to war on their behalf. It was incredible, the things that were being spoken. And so at that point, I was just like, I want that for other people too. So I just started releasing. And the stuff, there was such a list of things that He was releasing. And I was so excited to get here because I just felt like it's for everybody. The Lord is so, so excited about releasing truth, salvation, hope, joy, peace, new eyes to see into the Spirit so that you can release those things. It's just so incredible. Faith that was rising up, that was just a passion for Jesus, like what He had for the Father. I just release all of that to you guys. It's just, my list is so long, I can't even, it just keeps bubbling out of me. I'm so excited for today and what the Father is doing.
So open your hearts. Say, I take it. I'm in. And I'm gonna start with my own self for the communion thing. When you have a target in mind or several, the communion is simply, doesn't mean anything. It just means you're in and you're buying in and you're taking of Him and you expect to carry Him out of here to speak and to release and to accomplish the things of God. Carry it out of here. Out, Jesus said, those that believe, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, either he's a liar or he's a truth teller. Do you believe he's a liar? All in favor of a liar, say aye. All in favor that he's told the truth, say aye.
Aye.
I believe out of my belly, inner being, will flow rivers of life. I expect to release it today and in the coming days. Amen. Yes. All she had to do was say,
I release. And it was like the day that God created the world, I speak light. I speak life. That's it. Nothing else. He charged in. It was wonderful. It still is wonderful.
I challenge you to dare to be a believer and receive. Nate, come. And anytime you want to help yourself to communion again, help yourself to communion again. Hi, good morning, Nate.
Good morning.
Glad you could make it.
Me too.
Even if you were late, I'd rather have you come and be late than not come at all.
It's at least late I've been in a while.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Just to tag on with what people were saying, two things came to me this morning. One came while Keith was singing the first song there, and it's Isaiah 40:28, and it reads like this: Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. The sense I heard was, though, that have you not heard, or have you forgotten, that God is the creator of the earth? He was and he is. And so often in our own lives, we begin to look for creative power elsewhere, or life elsewhere. You know, you go to the doctor, you go to the shrink maybe, or you go to Google or wherever it is, and you start digging around. You know, you find another book, you find another idea, and you keep looking. But have you not heard, or have you forgotten, that God alone, the Lord, is the creator? The other sense I had was driving in this morning, and I think it goes along with this, is that God sees you. Not just sometimes, not just once in a while. He's not just looking when you're good, and he's not just looking when you're bad. But he sees you all the time, all of you. All that you've been, all that you have, and all that you are. And it's funny because he sees you, but then there's other scriptures that says he really sees you, like actively looking. You know, the scriptures that talk about the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro. But then there's many other scriptures that talk about God is all seeing, or sees everything all the time. Nothing is hidden from his sight. All is naked before him. So I just want to remind you that God is the creator and is the only one who can create life and hope and truth in your life. But he sees you. And I'm reminded of little McKenna when she runs around, David's girl. She behaves differently when she knows she's being watched. And it's like we forget that God is always watching, and it's not a bad thing. He's not just sitting there waiting to punish you or waiting to reward you. But he sees who you are and who he's calling you to be and what you need. I was reminded of Paul and his ministry. And it's funny because Paul had a lot of different things going on in his life at different times. And there's times that he had it all. And there's times that he lost it all. And Paul's somebody, I believe, who understood that God saw him. And I believe that Paul is also somebody who looked back and fixed his eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of his faith. And Paul, someone who saw the gaze of God and looked back. You know, he's one who said, "All I once held gain, built my life upon, I've counted loss compared to this, knowing you, Jesus." The other thing Paul did too, in the midst of like his trials and tribulations, even in the midst of people being put to death around him, we think we got problems, you know? We think we have issues and we struggle with things. You know, they had real issues, real struggles, people being tortured and beaten and put to death for the gospel of Christ. And what did Paul say about those things while looking into the eyes of Christ? "I count these but momentary, passing, light afflictions." You know, we worry about so many things and focus on so many things. And we have questions about so many things. Why does God allow this? Why does God allow that? And if you can open the eyes of your heart and see that he sees you and turn your eyes towards him and look into his eyes, you begin to understand, as Paul did. There's only one place. There's only one place. Have you not seen? Have you not heard? God is the creator. He is the one who will create hope and life and light and truth. And I believe this morning he's opening up that opportunity for us, as we've heard. And he's opening up our eyes to see. But his eyes are already open, and they're full of love and full of light and full of hope and full of life. If we just look into his gaze and fix our eyes on him.
Betsy had a verse here. Just share the verse, Betsy.
Nate reminded me of it, and I went looking for it because I know I knew it was here. And when Melchizedek met Abraham after Abraham had gotten back from a robbing people his goods, Melchizedek met him, and it says in Genesis that Melchizedek was a priest of God Most High. That is, in the Jewish or whatever language that was then, it's El Elyon. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said to him, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor and creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High." God revealing himself early on to Abraham as creator and possessor of heaven and earth. Nothing's changed.
So we have a fresh presentation of that God this morning, inviting us to enter into what he's doing. "He that believes, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And just in case you were asleep, there was a shofar that was blown to say, "Pay attention, this is where I am in this hour." And of course, Jocelyn coming forward, recognizing the motion of God, the opportunity of God moving in then through you, touching lives. Simply, just note this, that God does things by speaking words. Isn't that how he does it? He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It's not surprising then that he expects his kids to speak words that will be creative and accomplish the things of God. So that's what we're about this morning, and God is inviting us to participate with him. It's a strong call. And I challenge you to receive and expect to release. Expect to release.
Stir the stagnant waters of my soul. Merge me with your river, which brings life. I don't have all the right words to say that will provoke you to want me any more than you already do. So won't you come like you promised, pour out your spirit, pour out your spirit. Won't you come like you promised, pour out your spirit, pour out your spirit. Over overcome the darkness of my night. Jesus, be the strength of my life. Reaching past, reaching past my hiding. Reach beyond my running. O Lord, come fill my soul with your love. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. You love like a father. You love like a brother. You love like a lion. Fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me. Engulf me in who you are. You love like a father. You love like a brother. You love like a lion. Fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me. Engulf me in who you are. So engulf me in who you are. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Won't you
just change the words? You have come. Come like you promised. You have come. Poured, past tense. You have poured out your spirit. Sing it again. You have come.
You have come. Come like you promised. Poured out your spirit. Poured out your spirit. You have come. Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. You have come. Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. You have come. Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. There's a mighty river flowing in this place. There's a mighty river flowing. There's a mighty river flowing in this place. There's a mighty river flowing. There's a mighty river flowing in this place. There's a mighty river flowing. There's a mighty river flowing in this place. And it's full of passion, full of power, full of glory, it's full of grace. And it's full of passion, full of power, full of glory, it's full of grace. Jesus is the river. Jesus is the river in this place. Oh, Jesus is the river. Jesus is the river in this place.
I'd like us to see, present ourselves as the place where Jesus dwells. As the place where Jesus dwells by faith. He dwells in us. By faith. By us choosing Him and by us believing the words He says. Present ourselves to you, Jesus, as those who believe. Lord, we believe. Help where we don't believe. We want to be full of belief in you. Thank you, because you are in us. There is a river that springs up, brings life. It springs up. It brings life, not through what we see, but through who we know. Not by what we can figure, but by who you are. Jesus, you're the river in this place. Jesus, Jesus, you're the river. Jesus, you're the river in this place. Jesus, you're the river. Jesus, you're the river in this place. And you're full of passion, full of power, full of glory.
Jesus, you're the river. Jesus, you're the river in this place. Jesus, you're the river. Jesus, no one can replace. There's no one like you. Full of passion and power and glory, full of tender mercy, Jesus. I give you me again. I give you me again. Jesus, you are welcome here. You are welcome.
You have not seen all that I have for you. You have not received all that I have for you. Even this day, you are clouded by this dirt, this world that so easily surrounds you and dissuade you from all that I have for you. So repent of that and look to me. You, it is, there's nothing more to do. It's all under the blood. You cannot go off to the left and to the right. You cannot be dissuaded from the gospel. You want that to flow through you, my love, my holy love, then repent of this that you carry around, that old nature. You are redeemed. You know it, believe it, walk in it.
So, Lord, we do acknowledge that there's a lot of junk we carry around. I do, and one or two others do as well. We carry junk, and today we repent. We drop it off. We thrust it aside. In Jesus' name, I thrust the junk aside. There's only one thing that's valuable. There's one thing that's needful, and that's you. All the other stuff we thrust aside, and we pursue you. We pursue you. We pursue you. And we acknowledge that you are more willing to give than we are to receive. You're more willing to release than we are to look. And so this morning, we repent and we look. And we look to you and we receive from you. We choose to receive. Rescue us from our stupidity and establish us in your abundant grace. In Jesus' name. Once again, I'd like to remind you of the words, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come and drink. Come and drink. He that believes out of his belly." Keith, you want to share a little bit more about that? He who believes, come and drink.
Yeah. The Lord had given us this same passage of Scripture a few weeks ago. And I was reminded of that when Pastor George read it this morning. But when I shared it a few weeks ago, the thing that the Lord highlighted to me was in the NASB, there are notes off to the side as to the translation of that. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. It says, let him keep coming to me and let him keep drinking. I think that we've had ingrained in us over the years through the church and through religion itself that I received the Holy Spirit, I'm good to go, which is not what that scripture's saying. It's saying to keep on coming, receiving the Spirit, and keep on drinking of him. And so I just think that because this has been over the last couple of weeks that we've heard this twice, that God's trying to say to us, be very much aware that you need to keep coming to me and receiving my Spirit, and you need to keep coming to me and keep drinking of me.
When we were singing about the river flowing, I saw this river that was just flowing along, and while I was standing here worshiping, the Lord just told me just to stay on, you know, just float on the river and put my hands out and just float, you know, go with the flow. And then I saw like the lazy river at the water park. It just keeps going around and around and around in the same direction, and you know, you're sitting on a raft just floating around, and he was telling me, you don't want to go in the same direction, doing the same thing over and over again. You want to stay in the flow that's going in the right direction.
Today's a day for going in the right direction, not going around in circles, but going in the right direction. There's a breakthrough . It's a restful breakthrough . It's going with the river, but it's a breakthrough that accomplishes God's end goal, his purposes for you, his purposes for those around you, and his purposes, his eternal purposes for the entire cosmos are released in you and through you. Today is a day of breakthrough. I'd just like you to respond to that. Say, I believe. Today is a day of breakthrough. Say, I believe.
I was just thinking about that word breakthrough. I guess it would be four or five years ago that there was a word given, longer than that, concerning this fellowship, that there's a breakthrough. And the And the prophet at the time said, I see a dam, a large, oh, here it is. It just happens to be here. 2004. That's more like 13 years ago. I feel the Lord wants me to speak to you all about a sudden breakthrough that you must believe in, that you must lay hold of, and you must declare in the Spirit. It's happening this morning. And I would like us to see that God, we want God to do once and for all, and then we can walk away and do our own thing. One lesson we need to get a hold of today is that he does a thing, and he does a thing, and he does a thing, and is an ongoing does a thing. And if we will plug into the doing of it, we become a part of it. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's there is a reality in which he does, and time, he does it eternally, and time skates through it, moment by moment, by moment, by moment. The breakthrough is ours today, and it is ours, and it is ours, and it is ours, and it is ours, and it is ours. Each moment of the day, it is ours. Do you follow that? So, Lord, we thank you for the breakthrough that you promised 13 years ago. Or is that 15? There is a breakthrough. I see it like in the Spirit as though a dam has a crack in it, and it is about to burst, that it is just looking for something else to happen. The crack is there. The crack has been there for a good while. A good while longer than it was then. You have seen the crack in the dam, but it hasn't broken. But it needs something else to happen. It needs something to hit the crack. It needs, listen to this, it needs something else to happen as a sudden breakthrough. I feel the Lord wants you to declare it, to speak it, to acknowledge it, to say it, that you ought to preach it in your people. You ought to say it. You ought to have your people declaring it with you, that we are a people set for sudden breakthrough, that God is about to break through here, and that we are on the same page with God. Now, Lord, we call this into being upon all these people in the ministry of this church. I call forth the grace of God. Jesus, you are the head of this local congregation. And today we pray that you will pour out upon them boldness, a deep desire to break through to a different level, that the things that never will be the same. We call it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you. It was given to CLF, what was it? 13 or 14, 2004. And we declare it again today, breakthrough in Jesus' name. And we declare it in our individual lives, breakthrough. We release the breakthrough. We release healing in the name of Jesus, the grace of God, the fullness of his pleasure, his purposes. We release purposes in Jesus' name. We declare breakthrough in Jesus' name.
I've got a river flowing out of me. Makes the blind... And the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free.
I've got a river of love flowing out of me.
Spring up, O well, refresh my soul.
Spring up, O well, make me whole. Spring up, O well, give to me that life under me.
I've got
a river.
Yeah.
except with a different focus, not just the life that comes to me, but the life that comes through me. So the one that makes many whole, and the life that comes through me.
Oh, I'm a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I'm the river of life flowing out of me,
spring up, O well,
bring my soul, spring up, O well, and make me whole, spring up, O well, and give to me that life from thee.
Spring up,
spring up, O well,
my soul, spring up, O well, make many whole, spring up, O well, give through me that life abundantly, spring up, O well, within my soul, spring up, O well, make many whole, spring up, O well, give through me that life.
Amen. I have 6 messages to bring to you today. And so I'm going to go quickly through some of them. So stay really on top of me, all right? Really, really focused. Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, you know this story. And that, in particular, in Genesis chapter 2, I want to talk about the interactions between the enemy and mankind briefly. The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. That's verse 225 says they were naked and not ashamed. Did they know they were naked? Did they know they had clothes on or didn't have clothes on? They knew they were unclothed, but they were unashamed. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field. He said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat," and you know what she said. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." I have a question for you. Did they die on that day when they ate it? Yes and no. Okay, there's both are true. Okay. So did the enemy tell the truth? Okay. All right. The reality is the enemy cannot tell the truth, but he can tell you things that appear to be true, okay? Right? He is incapable of speaking truth, although he said something that did in fact appear to be true, right? The truth is that they died that day. The apparent truth was that they survived that day. Understood? All right. The serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened." I have a question for you. In the day they ate of it, were their eyes opened? Yep. In fact, if you just scroll ahead a little bit, you'll see that the scriptures say that their eyes were opened. Okay? So did he tell the truth? And did he lie? Okay, because the truth is that whereas their eyes were opened and they became more aware of their nakedness and somehow they received shame, they also became very much less eye-opened and were, in fact, caused to see poorly. Because, and then he also said, "And you shall know good and evil," right? And did they? Kind of, yes. And no, okay? So here's some, just the principle throughout is In reality, the enemy always speaks lie, but he speaks lie that is consistent with your observations in this realm. Okay? Do you see it? And the lie that he propounds is more significant than the truth that he propounds. The lie that he gives is an eternal lie or transcendent lie. The truth he gives, he tries to make it consistent with that which is observable in the natural realm. Make sense? When God speaks to you, he speaks transcendent truth. Sometimes it doesn't appear that obvious. Many times the truths that God speaks to you, you look with your eyeballs and you say, but that doesn't look true. The lies the enemy speaks look true and are not. The truths that the Father speaks are true, even if they don't appear to be true. Okay? So these are just basic understandings that if we don't have these understandings, then we get all screwed up because we're impacted yet as we go forward. You still have eyes and ears that can see and hear words and messages that are sourced in this world. Right? And you can be deceived by those if you refuse to love the truth, who's Jesus. Okay? That was a whole message and we got through it quickly. Do we understand where we're going from? It's not really done because that message pervades everything. The reality is we need to see and hear and understand and know what it is that God is speaking, because what he is speaking is more true than what you see and more true than what you understand. We always need to press in to know what God is saying. Today, I received an email this morning from, I forget the guy's name, but I get an email from him every day, and he gives me a one-line prophetic word, and I appreciate it. Today's was, get ready for a dramatic change. Can you receive that? Say amen. For a dramatic change in the way you feel and your outlook on things. Okay? What's that? Yeah, Doug, what's his name? Addison, Doug Addison. It's a good word. It's a good word for us. I want to share today just what I would consider some prophetic perspectives on 2018. By and large, I know these are for me, and I really strongly believe that they're for us. Okay, so you weed through them if you wish, but I believe that these are, I know that the Lord is speaking them to me, and I feel like he's speaking them to us, so I want to speak them forward. Some of them you may have already heard in one form or another to a certain degree or another. 2018, I believe, is a transition year, a year of major shift for us. And I'll get more into that, I believe, as we go forward. But one of the things that is happening in 2018 is we need to investigate this statement, I am the Lord your God. The thing that I know the Lord really highlighted for me was the word your. We know he's God, that's true, we do. He is the Lord. He is I am, right? All of those things are significant. I felt like he said, I am the Lord, your God. And the sense of the word your was not just simply, you can identify with me if you want. But it was a sense of possession. In other words, you possess me, says God. I'm possessed by you. Do you understand that? That's a little bit different than we often think. But let me just say to you that the scriptures are very clear that God not only wants you to belong to Him, but He Himself desires to belong to you, to be owned by, possessed by, owned. He wants to belong to you. Yes, He also, in a very significant sense, wants to belong to us. But I want us to be willing to truly investigate, to feel out to the very edges of and discover the far boundaries and the horizons of, I am the Lord, your God. You know, you take that and you marry it with some of the things that we've been hearing this morning about the gracious flow of God. And have you not heard, do you not know that, you know, help me out. Help me, Nate. Have you not heard, do you not know, He's the Creator. What is it? He is not weary. He never runs out of energy. He keeps on rocking. I want you, and I want me, I want to encourage us to truly, truly go after the notion that He is the Lord, my God. He's mine. He's my God. I want you to take responsibility for understanding that He belongs to you. He's yours, okay? So take that and let 2018 be a year where that changes how you think about things. Let me say, did you have a comment?
Thing that I understood was, I am the Lord your God. I am wholly and totally devoted to you. Mm-hmm. Wholly and totally devoted to you.
You see, the kind of your that we're talking about, the easiest places to find that are things like In Song of Solomon, there's a nice one that says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." Okay, there's this complete giving over. And in fact, the truth of the matter is, if you look at that contextually, we're talking about King Solomon, right? And that beautiful woman. I'm not sure which one she is, but whatever. Could be someone, okay, whoever it is. I'm just going to let her be unnamed at the moment. But whoever she is, if you look through it, he says and she agrees that none of the other women, now he's talking about, you know, 300, you know, wives and 700 concubines, none of them matter. You matter to me. That's what he said. You, yourself. My beloved is mine and I am his. There's something for us to really grab a hold of and really move into an understanding that he wants to belong to you. So I want to go on from there really quick because we have some ground to cover. But have you not heard that he never grows weary? He never runs out of oomph. Can I say something to you? We often think there's a famous deception called deism. The famous deception of deism is that God, in His profound wisdom, said, "Let there be light," boom, and stuff began to happen, and God just sat back and did nothing then, and let just stuff happened, and it just, history rolled forward because he spoke, and he was in a sense just, he wound up the clock and he's just enjoying watching it unwind, but not actively being engaged in its process. It's a famous deception that many people have believed. And to one degree or another, I want to say we all believe it. And I would like this year to be a year, I believe that this is a year to remove those sorts of things. Okay, so I'm gonna get back to that topic in a moment. But this is a year to remove our incorrect space-time-like thinking and begin to look at both space-time, our existence here, and to look at eternity through the lens of the transcendent. We need to see things from a transcendent perspective, both that which is here in space and time and that which is beyond space and time. We need to see properly, not through our typical lens of space-time, but through the lens of the transcendent. But let me get back to the topic that I was saying just a few moments ago, and that is the notion of deism. You see, deism almost makes space-time itself a god, because it does what it's going to do. But that's not how God operates. You're familiar, I'm quite certain, with the scripture in Romans chapter 8 that says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's not a deistic thought. That's a God who is actively creating every single moment. Let me just say to you that God did create the heavens and the earth, and He spoke it forward. And in that moment, He created a space-time, a dimensionality into which He breathed life and creation. But He actively both holds together and sustains and continues to create that which you see. It is not a deistic God that we serve. It is not a God that spun it and now we got to deal with the consequences. That's not the God that we serve. There's a God who exists within you, who continues to create that which is proceeding forth.
Hagar made that discovery when she ran away from Sarah, and she went into the wilderness, and she's about to die, and God showed up and said, where are you going? What are you doing? And Hagar had a revelation there and made the name, God, thou seest me, thou seest me. And she was instructed to go back to Abraham's home and so on and forth. But there was a revelation there. There was a revelation that changed the whole direction of her life. Her whole life was changed in that moment. Thou seest. She understood that God saw where she was, who she was, and what she was about. And her whole life was changed when she caught that vision. And yes, she did go back and she raised her child under Abraham's rule. I just thought maybe we could pray and ask God, give us that revelation. So not only will we hear the reality of that, but the revelation of that so that it changes the direction of our lives, that kind of thing.
Do it. Do it.
Father, we recognize that our minds play stupid things with us. But we declare here this morning, thou seest me. You see us where we are in every aspect of our lives. You see us. You know us. And so this morning I pray that we would become very, very conscious of the reality of your presence in every aspect of our lives, that you see us. And I'd also like to just note that you see us with compassion and love and mercy, open arms embracing of us. That's who you are, and that's how you see us in this morning. May we see, understand, and embrace the reality of a God who loves us and who is continually active in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so I want you to take this picture, and I want you to press the envelope with me a little bit, okay? I want you to really reject any practical deism that you have accepted, okay? Because I want to join the notions that we've connected here. Number one, He's your God. Say, He's my God. Say it loudly. Okay, who's He? Okay. Number one, He's your God. Number two, He is actively at work The scriptures say he holds it together, or he sustains all of creation. He also says that he is working together everything. Okay? So my God is actively working and even creatively working in this moment with me. And he sees me. Okay, so he sees what's going on. He's my God who is creatively at work in this moment. Mom has a comment.
You heard the everlasting God, the Lord, does not become weary or tired. The Creator does not become weary or tired. If he were going to create it once and be all done, what difference would it make if he got tired? And it goes on to say, he gives strength to the weary. Though these and this and this, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Obviously active in the creation.
That's good.
Says it all in that one little section. That
he is active and operative in the midst of his creation. There's another little piece, and I feel like I should run off to this one for a moment. But before I do that, my God sees me, my God acts with me, my God creates for me actively, continuously. The whole of the future is a creative work between God and you. Let me just say that properly. Between your God and you. That which comes out of the rest of history is a creative action of your God and you together. Don't think nihilistically. Understand God is at work with you. Rivers of living water flow out of your belly. Well, that's what's necessary for the completion of the purposes of creation and of God. Let me talk to you a little bit about time again. We operate in time, and we think so much in time. We have to be careful to understand properly why time even exists. I felt like the Lord showed me a number of things, which I probably won't get through, out of Revelations chapter 2 and 3. One of the interesting things, so you guys know there's seven churches that Jesus speaks messages to in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. And I felt like he highlighted a couple of things for me. This is Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison." I have a question for you. Who's talking? Jesus. Jesus is talking. And he says that the devil is about to do something. I wonder, do you think he's right about that? I suspect he's right. Okay, so do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Okay, so that's what he says to one of the churches. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, a different church altogether, says, "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing. The hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." What? So there's this hour that's going to test everybody, but not you. Right? Is that what it's saying? That's what it's saying. And in fact, the previous church, he says, listen, you're about to undergo some serious testing. In fact, can I tell you the truth? Jesus was letting the devil cast some of them into prison. In fact, the truth is, he was using the devil to do that. In a real significant sense. So here we have, in point A, a church that is sitting over here, and they're about to go into some testing. And here's a church, and if you look at that church, I can maybe Somebody get me a Bible real quick because I didn't put all of the notes that I probably should have. I know your deeds. This is the church that has already gone through a bunch of testing. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power, and you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they're Jews but are not, and lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will keep you from this hour of testing that's coming upon the whole world. Okay, so the notion here is, you see two different churches, and they're in a little bit of a different situation. The other church had kind of wobbled in under the testing that had been going on, and they were going to go through some more testing. This church had persevered in the testing, and so they were going to go through the testing. Do you see what I'm trying to say? They weren't going to have to go through the additional testing. Let me just say something to you. Time is your opportunity to be faithful. Do you know that you don't have an option to be faithful if you don't have a time? You see what I mean? God gives us testing and periods of things, junk, that you have to go through, right, over time in order for us to be faithful. I know a number of you have gone through major things. In fact, both of these churches, the two churches that he references, the synagogue of Satan, the synagogue of Satan is people vilifying godly people, people coming after godly people. People who say they are righteous and then come after truly righteous people. Okay, that's the synagogue of Satan. That's part of the synagogue of Satan. You know, Satan is the accuser, right? Satan's the one that comes against you. And he often uses other people's lips and tongues to do it. The synagogue of Satan comes against us, but we persevere. So, backing up, we all go through testing. We all do. And in fact, if you hang around with Jesus for very long, there's going to be some people that'll synagogue Satan at you, if you know what I'm trying to say, okay? They'll be beaten on you, okay, with their lips and tongues. But let me say this. That perseverance that is enabled because you live in time is highly valuable in eternity. Okay? That we need to understand that when we persevere through stuff, that it's not because God, you know, forgot that he let Satan put a couple of you into prison for 10 days or whatever it was he said. No, he didn't forget. He gave that to you as your opportunity to be persevering, standing faithfully, patiently, hopefully enduring. You see, that was one of the reasons God created time, is so that you could endure. Kind of weird, isn't it? We need to understand that that is God actively creating opportunity. You see how, so Jesus says to this one church, you're about to be cast into prison. He says, I'm giving you an opportunity. Here's your opportunity.
It's an opportune time for you to persevere.
He says, do not, this is verse 10 out of chapter 2 of Revelation, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so you'll be tested and you'll have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. You see, he is about giving us good things in eternity, and that's why he gives us things in time. God, in space-time, is actively creating opportunity. Notice that he actively creates time, even. He creates stuff in time, and he creates time for you to do stuff. He's actively creating opportunity. He creates your life. He creates choice for you. He creates the reality that you live in, and he creates goodness for you to receive from that. And it's not just time-like goodness. It is time-like goodness. And if you look through, which I did, but I'm not going to go through it in any detail. If you look through the seven little messages to the seven churches, he says to him who overcomes, dot 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 dot. Right? Many of those to him who overcomes have to do with eternal reward. Many of them. Most of them. But there are also those, one or two, that says that has stuff in time as well. Okay, so he's about both. He focuses on the eternal, okay, because that's the reality that he lives in, and that he is welcoming you into. But he also releases his goodness in time. Okay, so I'm going to back up again. Okay, I know I keep popping down and then popping back up. But let me say that 2018 is a year to investigate the very fact that I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am yours. I belong to you. I think that we would start to feel a little bit, you know, heebie-jeebie and like, oh, should I go that far kind of feel before you get to where you really should quit, okay? In the understanding of I am the Lord your God, okay? Belonging to you. So go a little further than you're comfortable going and owning God. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Okay, so get after it. I am the Lord your God. 2018 is a year to purge space-time-like constraints from your thinking. Pursue understanding from a transcendent perspective on both the eternal and on the temporal. Recognize that God is at work. He is actively creating. He is actively creating with you. He's your God, creating with you, through you, opportunity, time, life, choice, goodness, reality. And I also believe that 2018 is a year of purification. And it's a little different than we think sometimes. Sometimes purification is another one of those time-like things. If you look in the scriptures, you see like a seven-day period. And there was this time in the New Testament when, I can't remember exactly the circumstances at the moment, but Paul was going to bring some guys into the temple or something like that. And so then he had like a seven-day purification procedure that he was going to go through. He shaved their heads and this, that, and the other thing. I can't remember exactly what it all was about. You can look it up. It's in Acts, okay? But there's a period of time during which there's a waiting for purification. I feel like there's something about purification that this year is coming into. And I want to say, and these don't always sound all that sensible, but they jive actually with what Sherry said. Part of the purification process is going to be required times of rest. Okay? And that's rest from everything you do, in a sense, okay? Sometimes it's easy for me, okay? I'll just tell you. It's easy for me if I you know, rest back, okay? The next thing you know, I'll be praying for one of you guys, right? It's very easy for me, okay? One of my kids will come to mind and I'll be praying for him. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not apologizing at all. But I will say this, there's times when you need to rest. Actually, even rest from good work. Do you see? I'm not saying good works like bad good works. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about resting, really resting. And that's your imagery of floating in the river, you know, back floating, you know, dead man's float kind of feel, you know, just resting in the river. There's something about really resting. And sometimes we need to really rest, okay? And that's part of the purification process. Don't think I necessarily fully understand that, but I want to say it anyway. I also know that part of the purification has to do with preparation and expectation. Let me say this. A typical 7-day purification process in the Old Testament had to do with the menstrual cycle. And if you look at the rules about the purification approach, let me say that there was a separation required, there was non-touching required, but the purpose behind it was for increased effective fruitfulness. Okay? Right? If you need me to explain that sometime, you can come and talk to me about it. But the reality of it is this, that God is about giving us periods both of rest and periods of purification for the purpose of greater fruitfulness. And so in that time of purification, the period of purification and rest, is both preparation and expectation, but it's rest. Okay? Key. Heart check comes in that. Resting in the presence of Jesus, not doing, just being together, is a very key aspect to the purification. I know for me, and this may be just me, but I felt like there was a 7-month something. I didn't understand it. You guys know me. I don't understand everything. I only understand some things, right? And even some things that I understand partially, okay? But I felt like there was a 7-month sequence of purification. I'm just going to give you my last 3 points really briefly, and we'll see whether we want to go into any more depth. Before I do that, though, I talked about perseverance. Listen to me. You are responsible to keep the word of God. When God speaks to you, you're to own that and retain it and keep it. You're to believe what he has said to you. You're to hold on to his promise. That's your job. That's a job you never get. You never get rest from that one, okay? That's your job that you never quit, okay? You hold on. It's called stand. In other parts of the scripture, it's called standing. You stand. Having done all, stand. You stand believing. You stand firm. You do not let go of his word. Now, he's the one that performs his word, okay? You don't really do. You're there. You're the dirt that he puts the seed into that grows it up, okay? Yep, that's all good, okay? But you hold on to that and you don't let it go. Do you understand what I'm saying? Perseverance is sort of like what we do. Does that make sense to you? Faithfulness, it's who he is. It's who we are. Okay? You can't get very far away from perseverance and faithfulness. Okay, so the three things that I wanted to say. You will neither stumble nor fall. Your foot won't even slip. 2018 is a year where Psalm 121, verse, read the whole thing, okay? But verse 3 says, He will not allow your foot to slip. He will not allow your foot to slip. And you can say, yeah, but I just saw it slip. Careful why you see. Back to Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Careful how you see. He may reposition your foot by causing you to think you slipped, okay? But he's just simply putting your foot where he wants it to be, okay? He will not allow your foot to slip. He will cause you to stand firm. You keep his word, he keeps you. Got it? That was point one. Point two, there are shifts in your life that have begun but aren't yet running smoothly and effectively. That's all right. That's okay. That's good. There will be a deeper linkage this year that will help you go from prototype to pre-production. I felt like you said that so clearly. And I think explanation would be useful, but I'm not going to go into a lot of explanation. There's things that God has begun and initiated and even prototyped in you. But he's going to put you into what I felt like was a pre-production. It's not even like sort of like the, you know, the factory's built and it's, you know, churning out product at, you know, super high speed because it's been made completely efficient. Not that yet, okay? But pre-production is we have a factory and it's starting to go. And, yeah, there's kinks to be worked out of the process, but it's going to happen. And so that's 2018. Your agreement is necessary for the deeper linkage, so agree with him. It's a gift, but you have to receive it for it to work. You know that everything we do really is a gift, right? And our role with respect to gifts, you know that you have a very, very important role. You receive the gift, okay? That's the reality. You have to receive it. Now, he offers it, but you got to receive it. Otherwise, there's a problem. Do you see what I mean? It doesn't happen. So you receive it. Here's the instructions with respect to point two is let go of the packaging and perspectives of the previous order in order to move on in 2018. And the third point is fresh energy will come from new joy and deeper peace in rest. I got to see in the spirit here. All of these things really require you to see God's truth rather than seeing stuff in the fleshly realm, okay? But there will be deeper joy, deeper peace, and out of that will come fresh energy. Recommit to soaking time, recommit to worship time, recommit to time in meditation on his words that you keep. And the final facet that I felt like for that third element was fully embrace each joy. I know I personally have problems in this arena. I sometimes don't want to let my... Let me say this historically so that I can... Because I got Dad and Jocelyn to pray for me this morning. I sometimes want to protect myself from the down by not letting myself go up. Anybody ever do that kind of thing in your own emotions? I sometimes do that, okay? I don't want to do that. I want to grab a hold of the joy that God gives me. And I believe that this is a year for embracing that. So here's the words, fully embrace each joy that he brings without hesitation or restraint, but with abandon. And that's where I want to be. I want to just grab a hold of every good thing that he gives and not, you know, with the eye towards, but next thing you know, I'll be down again kind of feel. We have our ups and downs, it's true. Let's embrace the joys that he has given us. So, any questions or any concerns about 2018? All right, well, 2018, Lord, may you release your spirit upon us in fresh ways. May you release breakthrough to us in every dimension. May you cause us to walk in your presence, in rest and in peace. Cause us to see with eyes that see like yours. Help us to know the truth from your perspective, not our stupid perspectives. We release our old ways of thinking and our old perspectives. We don't even want them. We want yours. We want to see like you see and know like you know. Thank you that you want to belong to us. Help us to even figure out what in the world that means. We want to belong to you too, but we want to let you belong to us. And so we choose that, and we choose to open our minds to that. Lord, we recognize that you have perseverance for us in various ways. And we thank you, Lord, that you do keep us from some of the testing, but that you also give us some of the testing. And we are grateful for that. You know best, God, and so we say yes. And we choose to stand, and we choose to persevere where you call us to be. It is our pleasure to persevere, to be loyal like you're loyal, to be faithful like you're faithful. Thank you for the opportunity for that. And Lord, we also thank you for purification, and we submit to your process, and we pray that you would clarify the process for us as we just walk before you. We also thank you that we will neither stumble nor fall. Our foot won't even slip because you are so good. We intend and intentionally decide to co-create with you that which is good and acceptable and perfect in your sight. We agree with you. We also agree with the shifts that you're bringing to bring us into your perfection and into your purposes. We agree with the new energy, the new joy, the new deeper peace and rest. And we love you. Amen. I bless you guys and wish you a very delightful 2018, full of Him, full of His presence, full of His grace, full of His life. God bless you. Mama wants to share something.
Oh, just with me. All right. You could come listen, maybe. I don't know. Love you all.